know how we're going to handle this for the future. And I thank you for coming to Huslia.
Thank you, Mr. Demetrio.
What I couldn't really understand here is in the settlement, says burghers, the villages hold all the land because the native people who negotiated the settlement came to Alaska to see how ANCSA was working. They came here and went to the villages and listened to the complaints, and they said, let's give the villages the land. Now here's another one I was reading. This one subject that comes up again and again is whether Alaska's native corporation should be replaced by some other organization less likely to lose control of the ancestral land through bad luck or bad management. Some organization that would also include natives born after the Settlement Act passed in 1971 and consequently excluded for its benefits. Now, what I can't understand here is what they mean by some other organization less likely to lose control of the ancestral land, when every native Alaskan native in this hall right now was all fighting for our land for I don't know how many years, since 1959, as far as I can understand the native cultures. We've been fighting for our land, and if we let some other organization take our corporations over, what we're going to be doing in 1986 or earlier or later when 1991 comes up. And here's another subject that I'd like to find out about is, I put this down my own self. There is a lot of smart people in our corporation. There is also a lot of people that ran that corporation for over 10 years. If they find oil on the native land, how they go about buying the land from the natives and killing our game and destroying the land? Or they're putting in railroads and highways into our interior. How could we stop it? That's what we have Congress for, we have senators for. That's why we have a lot of native peoples in Juneau, in the White House. They're trying to put their heads together to find out what we're fighting for. And what I don't like to see in this interior is another oil pipeline around here, or gas pipeline, or highways or railroads that'll destroy our land. I know I was reading this paper, and when I was down in Canada, I was down in Canada and I was talking to a couple Indians down in Whitehorse. Not only Whitehorse, but the other villages I went to. And they were talking about how before they started their land claims or their settlement act, how the white people came into their land and they never get no permission or anything. They started taking samples of the oil, taking samples of the land, and then they found out what was going on before it was too late. They made a settlement act their own self. And they got the village corporations that own the land down there now. And now we got different kind of corporation up here in Alaska. We got different kind of settlement act. And we all know what we're fighting for now. Like I was telling Bob Beatus, he's a good friend of mine. And his brother is here too, Sam Beatus. I was telling him there's more smart people if they put their head together instead of one. You know, if everybody talk about it and see what's going on, then we'll understand this corporation more. Then we'll find out what we're really fighting for. for our own land and everything. I hate to see this land be destroyed, because I go out a lot every day and everything. I go out and I walk, take a walk or I take a run, and I never see no railroads or nothing in this land, our land that, you know, that I see in the, like in Fairbanks or Anchorage. When I go to Fairbanks or Anchorage, all I see is railroads, highways, cars going back and forth, people walking all over the place, and that's going to be really bad for our villages if we ever see that. Now we got four villages here that's all combined together. There's Alakakit, Alatna, Hughes, Huslia. Now if all four villages put their head together and we talk about it all this till 1991, we'll solve the problem about how to take care of our land and find out about what we could do for our children that's after 1971. Well, this is the longest speech I ever made, and I'd like to make a longer one in the near future when I can really figure out what's going on. Like Catherine Atla and Wilson Sam, and there's a lot of older people in these villages that can really talk. They know how to talk for us. So it's about time us younger generation start really talking for our older people and our younger generation. Because when they get older and they'll find out what we're fighting for, what we're talking for, when it comes on later on and they can't catch no moose or nothing, they're going to have to buy store-bought food. And I don't think they'd want that, because they were born taught to live off the moose and bear and how to trap and all that. The older generation teaches that. So we got to try to really take care of our land and how to prosper it and make it just the way it is right now. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
People have a little break, and I want to take some picture for tender types, and I would like everybody out there standing in front of the hall, if everybody don't mind.
Okay. Break. Okay, we'll take a break to have our picture taken. Shake your hand. Nice to meet you. It's good. Well, we'll wait a second or two here.
Okay. I think it's more of a statement than a question.
Maybe we could start again. Maybe we could start again now that we've had our picture taken. And go ahead, you give us your name.
My name's Elsie Vinn. I'm from Huslia. Mm-hmm. And I just have more of a statement than our Christian in a statement. I don't understand too much about the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act. And what I couldn't understand is why everyone born before 1971 was entitled to a Native allotment, regardless of age. And why was there an age limit put on who should get Native allotments? Because eventually we would have become of age. And I think it's discriminating that only people of age got land, and others got, I mean, we got a piece of paper saying that we own stock in the corporation, and we should have got what everybody else got before. And I believe we should have gotten Native, yeah. Even the children born after 1971 should have been entitled to something. And I had more, but this is what I did right now.
Well, it wasn't really Native allotments. It was the shares in the corporations that that there was a dividing line. That is, if you were born after 1971, you didn't get shares in the corporations. If you were alive on December 18th, 1971, if you were born before December 18th, 1971, then you got shares in the corporations. Mm-hmm. Native allotments are something quite different, and whether you had a Native allotment depended on whether you applied in time. And the point is that it wasn't just the children born after 1971 who didn't get Native allotments. A lot of people, most people, born before 1971 didn't get Native allotments either.
Yeah, I was wondering. Because I think I was too young, they said.
Yeah.
But I couldn't understand why they put that age on who should have gone.
Well, Congress, you see, decided to close the enrollment in the corporations as of the date when ANCSA was passed, that is December 18th, 1971.
Mm-hmm.
Congress said, we won't give shares to anybody who is born after today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the 12-year-olds and under don't have shares.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we won't keep it open for them to get shares. Now, that's one of the things that people all over the state, Alaska Natives all over the state, are concerned about, and they're saying those children should have the right to participate.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Lorraine Bates. I'm from Hughes, and I'd just like to reaffirm everything that's been said, just for the record. First of all, I think the land is the most important to try to keep with our people, but also the education is an important factor. In order to figure out what we're going to do to try to keep our land, our people need to be educated. And that's a hard thing to do, because a lot of people live in the villages, and when they come to town to get their education, they can't survive there. I think that some kind of educational system should be set up where they can bring the education to the village on all these issues. And another thing is that the children born after 1971 definitely should have a part in the Native Claims Act, however that can be done. And what else, the other one? I forgot what they... I should have been taking notes, but I wasn't. I was just thinking. We do, like Percy, I think, said, we do have a lot of people with good minds here on the Koyukuk River. And what we should do is get these people together, and maybe through our village corporation, that seems the most feasible way we could do it. Get these people together at meetings and discuss these issues. And hopefully statewide they would start doing these, you know, having meetings, because we are running out of time and we do have a lot of questions more than answers. And a lot of, like, I don't really understand ANCSA. I didn't, you know, read up on it. All I was doing was just going to school, but that wasn't my subject in school. And it is important to us and our children. So that's what we should do, is get all these people on the Koyukuk River together and start having meetings, and then hopefully reaching out statewide and trying to get everyone together. I don't know, you know, how it's been done before, but there isn't a good educational system on this in the villages. They try to teach it at the university or in town, but our people can't survive there. So it should be brought to the village. And, gosh, there was another thing, but I can't. Oh, well, I might think of it soon. Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Those were good points.
My name is Margaret Williams, and I'm from Hughes. In 1971, when the Land Claims Act went through, I was in the eighth grade, and at that time we had a teacher that had a class, or he had books, and he had a class, and since then, that was a giant step, and since then I've taken it in Van Leer. And today I have two children of whom are excluded from this act. This I don't believe is right to them, since along this river everyone believes that the younger generation will one day take over what our forefathers gave us. How will our younger generation take over something that they were not included in? This is what I want to see. This is what I want to see input for from some of the people from Hughes. Is there anything being done about the moratorium beginning after conveyance? What about the easements on the Koyukuk River? How will it affect the native-owned lands? If afterborns were well lands and stocks, do they have voting powers of this? What should a landowner do if they had an allotment and had erosion problems and they were surrounded by federal, state, or regional lands? Is there anything being done on getting your share of lands lost? What effects does the Secretary of Interior have on the act after 1991? That's it.
Yes. Well, those are a lot of good questions. I would like to consider them. Some of them are questions that I just can't answer right now, but I'll try to struggle with them.
I especially want to know what effects does the Secretary of Interior have on the act after 1991?
Well, the Secretary of Interior is the chief officer of the Department of Interior, which is in charge of federal lands in Alaska, and if you put your land into the land bank, it comes under certain circumstances, comes under federal management, which means it would be under the management of the Department of Interior. In that and in many other ways, the Secretary might have something to do with ANCSA lands, but for the most part, after 1991, if there are no further changes in the Act, no amendments to ANCSA, the Secretary will have very little to do with it. Now, if you were to put your ANCSA lands into IRAs held in trust
federally chartered
by the Secretary, then of course he would have a lot to do with ANCSA lands.
That would be a federally chartered deal then.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, I also have another question about Alaska Native Fund. I was reading that book last night and it said something about 1985. Do you know what I mean?
But the money for the Native corporations that was put into the Alaska Native Fund has already been paid out. It was supposed to be paid out into the 1980s, but Congress decided to allow the money to be paid out earlier. So that money's all been paid out. In other words...
Oh, okay, so that book I read last night on 1985 doesn't apply to anything then?
Well, but probably it doesn't, but that's not the fault of the man that wrote the book. He probably wrote the book before Congress changed the Act.
Okay.
But all the $962.5 million that Native corporations were to get under the settlement, they've already gotten the money. There's no more money for them to get. The Alaska Native Fund is now empty in that sense.
Okay, well, that's all I have. Thanks.
My name is Kenny Sam. I'm from Huslia. I was born in Dalby Slough. And my impact statement, I mean, on the Land Claims Act, what I think about it is just, it's like cancer. We got something we didn't want, and we didn't have the right. There's a few reasons we didn't. First thing, they didn't come out here and see what we wanted in the first place, see how we want it done. Instead of putting up they gave us a tool that designed to fail, because we're not set up for the corporate world. We're not educated enough. And they should have came out here after it's too late now. We're like cancer, we're just sitting around till doomsday, 1991. There's a few things in there that should have been not put in there. The age limit on the land shouldn't have been in there. On the corporation after 1971, because we don't. Just like trying to align. I mean, get rid of a whole tribe, whole like the Kaibab River here. And another thing is the stock and the land should be separate, because in any corporation that's designed right now, once you own the stock and the land, you own the land, and they should separate that, because Native people is not corporation people, and we live off the land, and that's the way it should be. I think to me it looked like they just gave us a piece of fish and chew on us for 20 years, and we'll kick you out after that. Another thing, to me the corporation, I don't think should be taxed if it's Native owned. Because the way it is, we might even go broke before then. Look at Donyon, we're already losing money. And after 1991, we start paying taxes, we wouldn't have nothing to pay with. The banks are going to own it. We'll be asking the banks if we can go up there and hunt. And I think the way they should have set it up is come out here and ask us first if they wanted a good Land Claims Act without any too much disadvantage to us. because I don't think they just gave us something to tell us they'll see us later on. I don't know. I think our stock and our land should be separate. And if it's going to be set up like they start taxing our corporation and stuff, we're going to go down the drain, because part of our tribe here is going to be selling stocks for the money. Because that's the corporation is all set up with greedy people, and greed is money is all they need, and money talks. And once our land is open to taxation, we're gonna have to sell out. The land should be separate from the stocks. And if you, I like the way the Canadians set it up. The village people own the say so about the land. The corporation's stocks should be in the office making profit instead of, I don't think we should have our older people put our land in trust to them instead of to the government or to Dion or somebody else. Because anytime you put your land in trust to outside people, then you have to depend on whoever is the Secretary of Interior to ask him for that. And the way things are going now, I don't think we'll survive in a corporate world. And to me, that's legal genocide or something. You know, they're trying to wipe out a whole race of people within a certain time, assimilate us. But we're not. Three-quarters of us are. Some of us are educated, but we like the land. We move back to the land. It's always like that. We respect it. And that's our religion. We should be respected. Freedom of religion is written right in the... We should be respected for our rights, or where we live. We're not a corporate people, like, unless you go to college and all that. You know. I don't think, that's about all I had to say. I really disagree with a lot of those land claim settlement that they shouldn't have came up to us and asked for impact statement 13 years later after watering down the drain. We're not down the drain, but we probably could make it one for so many years, but it wouldn't be very long before a bigger corporation come in and say that, well, you can't pay tax on the land, we're going to have to buy it off you, or you have to sell it, because we couldn't afford it, a land tax. Once they find out what's under the land, then they're going to raise the taxes so high up that we can't pay it. Eventually we're going to go broke, and our people are going to start getting excited and say, I want to sell my stock before it gets too cheap. And then that's not the way we live. We're always with the land. And our kids shouldn't be separated from that whole system, whole idea, shouldn't be thrown into two different worlds. We've got a white man's world and a native's world. And that's a big lack of communication to me, and greed. That's what it's all about. And money to us is, we go through just like that. The land will always be there, the food, animals, everything. I think they gotta have a pretty serious thought about this 1991. They shouldn't have set a date, because they take that long to just realize how the corporate world works. And they give it to the native people, and now we're all divided. And that's how you conquer, you just divide and conquer. We let them fight among each other. We'll fight for our land over here, peace land over there. Before we know it, they're going to have fenced state land over here, all federal land separated. Somebody from out of place is going to be having own this section of state land. You can't go over there. You can't even cross the land. And that's what's... I think we should, like in Kaib River here, IRA would probably be a good idea, because we're not planning on developing no big, as far as I know anyway, no oil mine, I mean, oil wells or anything around here. And we should have our older people hold the land in trust for us and not have the federal pay tax to the federal government or anything. Because the way it is, they're designing it to, so we're going to go broke and we're going to have to, we'll just own whatever we got in town here. And that, to me, that's getting, you might just put us all in one big apartment and say, you guys stay in there. We'll take care of the land. We'll give you welfare checks every week or whatever, every month. We can take care of ourselves if you just leave us alone. This whole Land Claims Act came upon the big oil companies, like Claude said, and right from the start we know it is going to happen. Eventually it's going to get to the land, because once they start putting wells in, they're going to look for more and more. And they're already, the rules are written down for the oil companies. They're the best lobbyists. We don't have no money to lobby against them. And they just buy their politicians, those guys. And that's why we can't leave it up to the Secretary of Interior to hold, be the boss of our land and trust. We gotta have it to people we can trust, untaxable, and have it so the land will belong to the native people forever, like it always is. Instead of putting 20 years and so many, that, to me, that's wrong. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
My name is David Blanco. I'm not even an Alaska native, but I'm a teacher here and I live here, and I feel that since I educate these people's children, I have something to say. I feel, because of the lack of education of many of the elders, that the Lands Claimed Act was a great injustice to the native people, the way it was handled. The elders here are the leaders and still are, but everything affecting their lives now is handled by those that were educated in another way. I feel that many still do not understand too many things, and this is 13 years after the Claims Act. I don't feel they are to blame for their lack of education, although non-natives might say that they can only blame themselves, because the information was presented to them. Many just could not understand the language or could not read it. The Claims Act was too rushed. The Native people were not given enough time to prepare for the impact. The preparation for this radical of a change would take decades to be handled properly. The education the Native people have is just as valuable to them as a businessman is to him. They both need their education to survive. Ask a businessman to leave his office and live out here, and many would not survive. The educational system, even now in this area, is still not stable in the sense that no one is absolutely certain how much emphasis should be put on cultural heritage or how much on standard American education. This creates problems in the children's minds, who are so important to the people in this room. The Claims Act has happened to Alaska Natives, and they're dealing with it. I think and hope that Congress and whoever the Alaska Natives have to deal with will try to understand these things. The transition will take a long time to take place, and for these people to fully understand how to handle it. Changes that the Native people, that they are suggesting, I hope, are considered seriously, and that the problems of the lack of standard American education of the elders and their children is taken into consideration. As a teacher, I know they are unique problems here in preparing their children for their futures. Nowhere else in the world is such pressure being put on people to change so radically. I know I hear many non-natives say that natives should just face the facts that progress will come and their way of life will change. These people are no different than others in the sense that non-natives many times will take the trade of their parents and some won't. They have their option. To live on this land and to learn how to survive on it is the trade of their parents. The children now can be educated in schools and can go to a city and possibly get a job. But their children should have the option to learn the trade of their parents and their ways. This is something that many non-natives I don't feel understand fully, but should try when dealing with the problems of the Claims Act. Land and money are two very different things to native people, and the land is much more valuable to them. To a non-native, they are one and the same. I too feel what Claude said is true, that 20 years is too short a time, and that they should be considered seriously, that this should be changed. I hope what I've said can help some people realize the unique problems involved here when making decisions, which Judge Berger will recommend to Congress.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
My name is Gladys Durina. I don't know where to start from this mess. I recently read a letter from BLM saying government has a right of way on native allotments for railroads and highways, or probably anything they want to put there. What's going to happen when to our fish camps and our trap lines and our subsistence lands?
Well, I suppose you're protected by the fact that there aren't likely to be very many railways or roads coming through here. In fact, Catherine Atna spoke earlier and mentioned that she and others on the advisory board had opposed the connection from the Hall Road, and I suppose that's the best protection you have, is your own determination to resist those kinds of developments if you really want to stop them. That was one, the connection from the Hall Road that was stopped. Excuse me, I understand supper's to be here at 5. I'm in your hand, should we carry on? And I think someone just arrived, and maybe if you want to go ahead with supper, or at least laying the dishes out, and we'll carry on here for a little while. Can we do that? You carry on then. Why don't you... Okay,
yeah.
Gladys will be the last one to let
okay.
Supper. Is that okay?
We had a fight against the government in our subsistence last year, I think, and we won that one. But then we
1982.
Oh, 1982. Well, we probably still will have some more fights. And subsistence to us is just we just don't think of it as just an issue. To us, it's our spiritual way of life, our culture. And if we ever do lose subsistence, we're going to be losing our tradition, our culture, our whole way of life. And there is a possibility that someday we may lose it, and that's where education comes in too. Education I think the people should, or the, maybe the village or village corporation should invest in human resource, because education, we should try to get our young people to get more education or encourage them, and because we someday, maybe 50 years from now, we won't even have subsistence. And we had an audio conference this winter sometime with Eskimos, and I mean people from all over Alaska. And this one Eskimo, I'd like to quote this one Eskimo lady from, she's a student too from Ambler. She said, if we ever lose our subsistence ways, if they take away our seals and our subsistence ways, the older people that would be there, then they wouldn't be able to eat store-bought food. They're so used to living on seal oil. And she said, this Eskimo lady, I can't remember her name, but she said that if they don't get to have seal oil and things like that, you know, they'd probably die early or something. And she also said that seal oil is, you know, the blood of their life, she said. And another thing is subsistence is our, we have spiritual relationship with the land and the animals. We have a lot of Hatlani things. It's taboo, Hatlani. A lot of things women can't do. For instance, women can't go out bear hunting or something, you know. It's Hatlani for us to do that. So I don't know if they would understand that. Or I don't know if they do understand that when they're making laws and things about subsistence. And I think we're very fortunate to have Tom Spurger come in and do research on our land claims, because we all have a chance to voice our opinions. And I advise every one of you to come up and make a testimony. If you don't understand, just come up and ask questions what you don't understand. This is our chance to say exactly what we think about this or anything we want, this land claims, to try and get something done for ourselves. We have a chance to say it right now. Like about getting our children that was born after 1991 involved in this land claims. We have to get up and say that's what we want. Another thing, when this land claims was being settled, the federal government had first choice of all the land, and they chose the land with the most minerals, and the state was next, and they had second choice of land, and then the regional village corporation. The village corporation chose the land that they trapped on, that they lived on around the villages. And we don't even have subsurface rights on our own village allotments. Another thing, we don't have very much we don't have very much land and we don't make very much decisions on our own land. So that's it. Thank you
very much. Well, we'll adjourn now until after supper, let's say around 7 o'clock, or we'll start as soon as supper's over, whatever people want to do. So let me just thank all of those who spoke today, this afternoon. It's been very helpful to me, and I do appreciate it. And I'm glad so many have turned out today. It's been a good meeting. And we'll adjourn now for supper, and then we'll start again after supper. Well, I guess maybe a couple more hours. I really don't know.
Okay, write his name right there.
Yeah.